A very good morning to all brothers and sisters in Christ watching this message. Firstly, a very blessed Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I send you virtual hugs. Secondly, it is such a great honor that I am able to share with you on this Mother's Day, my first as a mother. So the title of my message today is called Family. And I will use the letters in this word to spell out the importance of being connected to a local church or a family. I've been an evangelist for roughly 26 years now. Time has flown by. Many people have come and gone, but there is always one constant thing throughout this time, and that is the working of the Holy Spirit. So some of you may have seen me grow up from a cheeky child to an awkward teenager to a young woman and now a wife and a mother. One thing I am very thankful for, in the physical sense, is the strong family bond we have here in Evangel. It's definitely family to me. And I believe that you would probably feel the same way. So today I would like to share with you about the impact of strong family ties. And I will share with you from my experience and dealings that have come along the way. For to me, more dealings means more love. So on Tuesday night, I'm sure all of you would have encountered the great storm, the great May storm of 2020. Heavy winds and rain at our place. And it got me thinking as I lie down in my bed about having a strong foundation as a Christian. We are so very blessed here in Evangel that we covered the 6 foundation stones in Life Group last year. And it's a constant reminder of what we believe in. We can never have too much foundation. Let me just repeat that. We can never have too much foundation. Sometimes we forget it. We may know it off the back of our head, but sometimes we forget it. So it's always great that we come back and know our foundation, who we believe, what we believe. However, it's not just that we know the theory of it, but it's that we can live it out and through our everyday walk with Him. How much more so during this period of time? It could be very, very easy for us during this season to fall back on the natural. Sorry, I just lost my place, but don't worry, I'm still here. And let fear grip us. But I've seen it as a time that what I declare, the spoken word I speak, that He's in control, that He is sovereign, that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that is the truth, and that I will stand on that truth. So here in Evangel, we have our confession. We say it every week, if the announcer remembers. And we all say the same thing. But do we all have the same faith of what this confession is that is so powerful in our daily lives and try to make it a point to live it out? Sure, some days are better than others. But the point is, do we have more faith or fear days? I repeat that back to you. Do we have more faith or fear days? You know, I've just started work again, and this is my second week. And sometimes when I come back, I feel very tired, very eh. And I remind myself during that time, you know, I am a human, that my strength is not of my own. It's not of what I can do, but it's because I feel empowered by the Holy Spirit. So when I feel tired or I feel, I quickly look up and I draw from what I need from the Holy Spirit. And that encourages me so greatly because I know it's not a religious thing to do, but it's a total dependency on Him. So we have scripture verses here, and they are Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. And we are all quite familiar with it, but let me just read it to you, okay? And you read along with me in your home. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So what's the point here? Have a strong foundation and build our foundation on who? The rock. Rock is Jesus. So let me go on to the next scripture verse here we have is Ephesians 2 verse 19 to 22. It says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone," being our rock, "in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So F is faith and foundation. And our faith and foundation is built on Christ the rock. So A, let's move on. A is authority. So you know, God has placed authority figures over us. Each and every one of us know. You know, in the home, it would be your father and mother. In a church sense, it would be our senior pastors and the leadership team. And in the government, it would be your federal government, state, or local. We all know that, don't we? We all know this like the back of our hand, okay? But sometimes it gets too basic and we miss the mark. It's either through our own ignorance or we just plain rebel. So in Romans 13, verse 1 and 2, I just want to read that to you, but I want to make particular mention to 13, verse 2b. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." I want to repeat verse 2b. "And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." I don't know about you, but I don't want to bring judgment on myself. So I just want to tell you, I'm sure you've heard this many, many times before, but I want to tell you about how I came into leadership training, okay? So many, many moons ago, many years ago, you know, our pastors have such a heart for the young people. And they approached me on numerous times. Amy, come and join us for our leadership. Come join us for training. Not even leadership training. Come join us for training. And every single time I said, no, I'm too busy. I have other things in my life to do. I don't want to come. And now that I look back at that, I sense that that was a true rebellion on my part, because pastors have such great foresight to know all these things, but I wanted my own way. Suddenly, it was one time, and guess what? It's not a secret, but every time I saw pastors, I'd run away so that they wouldn't talk to me. But don't do that. And then there was once pastors approached me again and said, "Amy, we would love for you to join." And at this point of time, I knew, I just sensed like something within my heart, something within my spirit say, yes. I didn't even have time to process what I said. And I just said, yes, I'll join. And you know, since I have joined, I have seen such a tremendous blessing upon my life, not just in a spiritual sense, but also in a physical sense. And so what I would like to do is I would like to encourage you, even just through my testimony, even through what I've gone through, is to stay connected. Stay connected to our senior pastors, to our leadership team, because I 100% know that we follow the working of the Holy Spirit. Does that make you think? So let's move on. So my next one is M, motivation. Okay, so when all of these restrictions from the government are lifted, we'll be able to physically gather together once again. And let me plant some seeds into your mind in anticipation for that day. I want to ask you, what will your motivation be? You have three, there's 3 points, okay? Number one, to praise and worship the Lord Most High and to receive the word through his appointed speaker. That's number one. Number two is for the delicious food your body will enjoy since you've missed out on hospitality time. And number three is to see Zion and see how much he's grown. So, you've pondered, you've thought, the seed has been planted. And I hope that you chose point one. If not, choose it, please, just choose it, okay? Because, yes, online church has been great in this season. It's been good to help us connect with other members in our life group during this time. But seriously, nothing compares to praying, praising, worshiping, and receiving with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I cannot stress that enough. Let me give you an example. So when we did our worship recording for Easter Sunday, the Saturday before, you know, even as I was worshiping, I felt the tangible presence of God in that place. And I told Dino I still wanted to worship. But because, you know, half an hour here, whatever, it was cut. But, you know, there was such a great presence of the Holy Spirit in that room. And it was so awesome that I didn't want it to end. So, yes, we know that Sunday services online, you know, where two or three are gathered in the, in His name, He is in the midst of us. But let me just point it out that there is something even greater when all of us are gathered together. You know, in Revelations chapter 4, verse 8 and 11, we see the four living creatures giving glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne forever and ever, and the 24 elders falling down and worshiping. There is such a unity among them. Could you imagine? I just want to just make a point here. Could you imagine if they were all on Zoom? If they were all on Skype? Do you think that there is such a unity if they were all worshiping together? Have you ever tried to worship in your own life group together? You get a great, crazy feedback, and sometimes it's like, ooh. Yeah. Have you ever tried? Try it later when you have your life group. So, Hebrews 10 verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exalting one another, and so much so the day as you see approaching. So, bear with me. Even more so as a family unit, even more so as a local church, I'm sure most of you are itching to see each other face to face, to hug one another, to talk to one another. But let us not forget the purpose of seeing one another, which is to exalt, to encourage, to strengthen one another's spiritual walk. So now we're on to I. And I stands for identity. Each and every one of us know this, but our identity is only found in Christ. In 2 Corinthians verse 5, chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, our identity is in Christ. So let us saturate, even during this time, let us saturate our mind with the trust of God's word. It is filled with reminders of His unconditional love for you. Let me just say this. Stop comparing yourself to others. Rather, compare yourself to the word of God, for that is the final truth in our lives that we should be striving towards. God's opinion of me and not people's opinion of me. So we can see that we are, say this after me, kings and priests. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are overcomers. We are given authority to be a channel of miracles and healing to those around us. So let us, through all of this, be led by the working of the Holy Spirit, and let us walk diligently in the light. Let's move on. We're on to L. So now we are on famil. I haven't done the Y yet. And so L stands for love. Every person in this world loves to be loved and appreciated. Is that right? So let me just tell you this story. Just this week, there was a parcel at my front door, and it was addressed to me. Don't worry, I didn't take anyone else's parcel. I was surprised to see something there as I came back from work. Because I'd received all my online shopping already. So who's this mystery parcel from? I don't know. I went to open it later on that day, and Dino was standing there feeding Zion. And I could see out of the corner of my eye that he was looking to see my reaction. So I was hoping that it was a good gift, that nothing was going to jump out at me. And I asked him, I said, dear, I call him dear. I said, dear, what'd you buy me? And he's like, no, I didn't buy you anything. And I was like, okay. And he's like, who else loves you? And I was like, Zion. But if Zion can do online shopping, I'm a bit worried. He's like, no. And I was like, is it Ern? And I call my sister Ern, so Grace. And he's like, yes. And I was like, okay, what did she buy me? I opened it and it was the cutest, fluffiest pajama set that I have ever felt. And it felt so, it felt so good. And even as I just opened that gift, I just felt the love from my sister. Even though she is from, she's over in Sydney, I felt the love. And, you know, I texted her immediately and I said, hey, why'd you get me this gift? And she said, and this kind of struck a chord with me, and it said, it's your first Mother's Day, so I wanted to do something special for you. So, trust me, there's a point to this story. I'm not just telling you I got a cute pajama set. So my point is, I asked her why, and there was a condition. It's because I'm a mother. So if I'm not a mother, I probably wouldn't have received a gift. But you see, God's love for us is unconditional. Did you like that tie there? And there is no strings attached. It's not because of emotion or particular seasons, special occasions, or like, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, your birthday. It's nothing, but it's all because of His nature. So God's love, God is always a God of love, despite our actions and attitudes towards Him. You know, Zion's first words, he's uttered it a few times, has been Dada or Papa, okay? And as much as it hurts me that his first words are Dada or Papa, I still love him. But God's love is even greater than any physical love anyone could bestow on you in this world. So I just want to encourage you today that just remember the love of God. I want to move on. There's lots of scripture verses there. I'll let you read them in your own time, because Psalms 136 is quite long, so I won't take up your time there. But let us say that there are four points to God's love. One is eternal, which is Psalms 136. Number two is it's perfect, which is 1 John 4, verse 16 to 18, which we will read. Number three is God's love is unfailing, which is Psalms 33, verse 5, and Psalms 143, verse 8. And lastly, number four is God's love is infinite, which is Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 19. So let us read number two, perfect, God's love. So in 1 John 4, verse 16 to 18, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. We all know that. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fear has not been made perfect in love. Let's read number three, which is unfailing. So we have Psalms 33, verse 5 first, which says, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And let's also read Psalms 143, verse 8. It says, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. And lastly, we have Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 19, which is God's love is infinite, no end. There's no end to it. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Let us move on to why. And our why is Yeshua. So we all know that Yeshua means salvation. Salvation, okay? So as a family of God, we all here have tasted and we have seen and we have tasted of his salvation and the transformation power of the Holy Spirit. So let us bring many, many more into the kingdom of light and into the family of God. So I want to just end off with this. Let us as evangelites or those in the family of evangel, as our local church, let us live up to our name, which is one, to proclaim the gospel to those that know him, that do not know him, and two, is a place where angels are ministering daily. So let us live up to that. So as a family, we are rooted and grounded on the foundation that Christ is our rock. A, that he is our ultimate authority, but he is the one that appoints authorities here on earth, which are our senior pastors, our leadership. So let us not resist, or let us not show our attitudes or whatnot, as I had done when I was being raised up. What's M? M is motivation. I'm just making sure that you're still awake. Our motivation. What is our motivation when we come back? What is our current motivation right here? I, what is it? It's our identity. And our identity is in who? Is in what we think we are? Is in what other people think? No, it's what God thinks of you. God's opinion. And your identity is in Christ. L is love. Love. The love is love of God, which is unconditional, which has no strings attached. God's love for you. And yet lastly is why our Yeshua, our salvation. So let us bring this hope of the gospel to those that do not know him. And you know, even in this time, as I close up, I want to do something different. You know, Zion, he has one song that he can sing to. And you'd be surprised, it's not your the wheels on the bus go round and round, it's not your head, shoulders, knees and toes, but it's actually a worship song called The Blessing. And every time we sing it to him, if he's ever crying, he comes down and he hums it with us. Even though he's not in tune, that's fine, we'll train him up to be worship team later. But he goes, Seriously, next time you see him, do that. So I just want to sing this, and I want to declare and sing this blessing over you, not just for the mothers. I want to sing it over everyone in Evangel. Sure, it's Mother's Day, and I wish you all a very blessed Mother's Day. But at the end of the day, let us receive this blessing from God on high. You know, it's when Zion sleeps, this is the last verse that we recite over him. And I'm sure we all know it's the Aaronic blessing, and it's found in Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26. And it says, the Lord will bless you, the Lord will keep you, the Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord will turn his countenance towards you and give you peace. So I want to declare this and I want to sing it to you today. The Lord bless you and keep you. May his favor shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and your children and your children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you. He is within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. He is for you. Amen. 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 So right now, I just activate and I declare this blessing over you and your household. Lord Jesus, we thank you right now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ that, Lord, we are connected to you, the head of the church right now. And we as evangel will move forward with you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the one that leads us and guides us. So, Lord, I just declare this blessing and I activate this blessing right now over those that are watching this video. In Jesus' mighty name, I declare resurrection life right now from the top of their heads to the tip of their toes, spirit, soul, body, right now. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Lord, that you are constantly speaking to us and we want to hear the now word from you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Be blessed.